With the familiar tones of AC/DC, we begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, April 13th. We come to you coast to coast from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the frozen tundra every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, over-the-air affiliates FM and AM, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, everywhere else you get a signal on your apps, everywhere else you get a signal, of course, in this fine world of ours. Special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service every single day. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, filling in for the ailing Andrew Zarian, talking about the biggest news from Saturday, Sunday, and of course into the week ahead, which, my friends, all caps, WrestleMania 41 week has officially arrived. Yes, it's finally here. Las Vegasians, is that's what you call you? Prepare yourselves for the unwashed masses of wrestling fans who invade your fine city for the next week plus. And yeah, prepare to be overwhelmed, of course, by the warming glow of WWE superstars. Capital on that, superstars, right? Doing every single possible media appearance, except with the embedded wrestling media, of course. I don't think you're going to hear too many interviews on WrestlingObserver.com, for example. But I'm going to promise you, friends, today is not going to be a preview show. You're going to have plenty of that throughout the week on this website and pretty much every other single website in the universe. But I do want to look ahead the week, whether or not you feel that the build of WrestleMania feels good. Are you ready for the show? Are you into the show? Are you kind of like, eh, I'm good. We'll talk about that. And of course, we have a lot of weekend news to get into, friends, from, of course, AEW Collision happening. We have some new matches made for this Wednesday in Boston. I'm going to be there in the house for the historic night. We'll talk about that for AEW. The Death Riders. We have Mariah May making some comments on her Instagram. We'll talk about The Rock. We'll talk about all kinds of things. It's going to be a fun hour ahead. So stick with us. Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after the break. All right. Wrestling Observer Live is back. Yes, back from the break. I'm Josh Nason. Again, I mentioned filling in for the ailing Andrew Zarian. Feeling a little bit under the weather. So shout out to him, of course, and hopefully he'll be back at it in the week ahead in his various broadcast platforms of choice. Easy for me to say. So yeah, be looking forward to hearing him. Hopefully a big WrestleMania preview coming up next Saturday and Sunday for Wrestling Observer Live. Of course, Jim Valley will be back for Saturday. Yeah, the week is here. It is hard to believe that around a year ago, give or take, we were looking forward to Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns, the sequel, the rematch. And would Cody finish his story? I think at this point, we all felt, of course, that was going to happen. And yes, it did. After the first match that they had, and Roman Reigns shockingly pinning Cody Rhodes, as one of the, you know, in wrestling, you watch this stuff so much. And there's a few times I can remember where you're just like, wow, holy bleep, right? That was one of them. I couldn't believe it. So fast forward to a year later, Cody year in review series for our very website, WrestlingObserver.com, my podcast, Josh Nason's Punch Out, and looking over that whole thing with The Rock returning and kind of interjecting himself into this main event storyline. It was going to be, you know, The Rock and Roman Reigns, and you know the whole story by now. It ended up being Cody Rhodes, and there was the whole cavalcade of Attitude Era stars that came out before in that, was it the Bloodline Rules match that led in, you know, the Cody and Roman Reigns match. You know the whole story as well, except for one, Steve Austin, of course. So now here we are a year later, Cody still the champion, and now we have a heel John Cena chasing after the title. And there's one thing missing. I know it's been mentioned on other shows, but I got to mention it here because we're on, again, 7 days away from the big event. 8 days, technically, I guess. But where's The Rock been? I know he's been looking, you know, Rubik's Cubes and wearing New Japan Pro Wrestling shirts. And in case you don't know, in case you haven't noticed, wrestlers love to get people talking about them. And now it's a thing on social where they're even teasing, potentially looking around, is a thing, and it has been for a while. Get people talking about you. Oh, could you be leaving? Could this be happening? Could this be happening? And a lot of times, at the end of the day, nothing happens. Everything stays status quo. So The Rock had this Instagram photo, I believe it was on Friday night or Saturday. Forgive me if I don't remember what. He's wearing a New Japan Pro Wrestling shirt. Gasp. They're not partners of WWE. What's he doing? What's going on? He's looking at a Rubik's Cube. Is he trying to solve a puzzle? I don't know. They're always steps ahead of us, right? Love to hear that. Fans love to be told, you have no idea what's coming. It's one of my least favorite things is to be told, oh, you don't know what's coming. So what? Not supposed to. But where's The Rock been during this whole Cena Rhodes thing? That kind of leads in, are we excited for the show coming up? Of course, we have Monday Night Raw. We have Friday SmackDown. I don't expect The Rock to show up on NXT Tuesday. But we have two shows in which to kind of get him interjected, if he's going to be interjected at all, which I would assume, and I wouldn't bet my mortgage on it. My wife would kill me if I lost. I'm going to guess that The Rock is going to be part of this whole thing and may make an appearance this week. He should. And I think that's okay if it's happening this week. Now, I've as said kind of before, where's he been? But now kind of how we are in society and life, like you don't really need to be told that somebody's going to be there months and months in advance. Now we are so like, there's so many things to watch and do and our phones and all this stuff. We don't really need to be, if we know a couple days in advance, cool, we're good. I think most people are going to watch Mania regardless of whether we know or not if he's going to be there. But it would present some storyline clarification and some, it would be good if he's part of this because he was part of it from the beginning. He was there at the Elimination Chamber, did the throat slit motion, and then John Cena turned heel on Cody. We still have not gotten a rationale why what that was all about. How did that happen? Are we supposed to know that he was talked into it? You know, is that what we're looking to do? So we haven't heard anything. So this would be a great week to do it. Do we need the full explanation? That might be nice. Add a little bit more sauce and spice going into this. I guess we could get it, you know, Monday on Raw. I'm assuming Cena's winning the title. I think all of us do. But what is this all about? And if The Rock isn't there, if he's not part of this week, and say he doesn't even appear at WrestleMania, then what was this, what happened? Because clearly there was a plan to have him be part of this thing. So why isn't he there? So there's a lot of questions about that. And I've seen some kvetching of the cards and kind of the breakdown of the cards and so on. Again, you don't really kind of know what agendas people have and where they're cheering and what they're rooting for these days. But I put out a poll on our X account, the WONF4W, of course, the Wrestling Observer account. So I put out there, so this is numbers as of now. Are you excited for this year's WrestleMania as this weekend approaches? And as of now, 33% saying yes. 47.7%, so we'll call it 48%. So 34% said yes, 48% said no, and 19% saying not sure yet. We'll check on that poll as we go on throughout the show. I would put myself in the category of not sure yet. And I think I would agree, and I've heard this a lot as well, the amount of multi-man matches, multi-person matches, and it's even going to NXT, and this idea of, and I can appreciate it, of we want to reward our talents and get as many people on this show as possible. It's the biggest weekend of the year. They deserve to have their moment in front of tens and tens and thousands of people. I understand the sentiment, but I think also it can hurt the show when you do that because you kind of force people into things where the booking and the lead-in is not just between two teams. And sometimes multi-man matches really do make sense. But in this case, it just feels like there's just a lot of let's just get everyone in here possible and pay it off that way. And I don't love that. And I think maybe that could be part of some of the reason why people feel the way they do. Let's take a quick look at some of the matches, of course, that's been announced here. I don't know if we have this official or not. So, of course, we have Tiffany Stratton taking on Charlotte Flair. That's been talked about a lot. Gunther taking on Jey Uso. Of course, those matches for titles. Jade Cargill versus Naomi. That's a good Mania angle. Good Mania match. Makes a lot of sense. We have the War Raiders versus the New Day. LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu. Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. And of course, then we have Roman Reigns versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. That's on night one. So not too bad. I mean, you're going to have your moment with Jey Uso winning the title. I think nobody is surprised by that at all and shouldn't be at this point. And, you know, the Mysterio Grande Americano match, it's, you know, there's no stipulation, you know, mask versus mask. I think I agree with Brian Alvarez that that'll be held off for some other time. And I think that that's perfectly makes sense. You have a heel win here, get some heat, lean into that. The Stratton Flair match has a ton more intrigue now. So I think that'll be better than a lot of people expect. And then, of course, you have Reigns versus Punk versus Rollins, where, you know, I would have liked to see singles matches here. I kind of get it, but this kind of just feels like we have all these talents and we need to do something big with them. So let's just put them all in the same match, because otherwise we don't really have much of a plan. We've done Punk versus Rollins. For whatever reason, they didn't want to do, you know, straight Reigns versus Punk. So I guess at that point, you know, what do you do with Seth Rollins? So, but these are things, that's kind of why you get paid the big bucks at the high levels, is to figure this out well in advance. And you have injury situations like Kevin Owens. Then we'll talk about that after the break in terms of where his plan might be for WrestleMania and so on. And we'll take a look also at night two as well, where there's a few more multi-man matches and multi-person matches. And of course, then we have the Rhodes or Cena match and some other stuff. So we're going to get to all that after break. And then, of course, we're going to talk about AEW Collision, where that leads into this Wednesday in Boston, Massachusetts. Yes, Boston, Massachusetts, getting some AEW action coming up this Wednesday. We'll talk about more about that after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, coming right back. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason on a Sunday. Back with you, and let's finish out our WrestleMania 41 WrestleMania week talk here. So yeah, night two, I just talked about night one, of course, but night two, we have a three-way for the women's world title, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley. Same kind of feeling I have, as I mentioned, with Reigns, Punk, and Rollins. It would have been nice to see singles matches and so on, but that seems to be the flavor of the day. AJ Styles versus Logan Paul, I think that should be a lot of fun. If AJ is going to retire at some point, these are his last few times. As I'm saying that, the words are coming out of my mouth. I realize it's wrestling. People come back all the time. So what am I saying? But this is going to be this is going to be great. I think he's going to show out. Logan Paul is going to try to go overtime, so to speak, in making this great on his end to try to keep up. And I think that's potentially a show stealer there between AJ and Logan Paul. Of course, we have Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez defending the women's tag team titles against Bayley, Lyra, Valkyria. We again a four-way: Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. The street fight between Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. I think you definitely had to add some sort of kind of hook or angle in there, because these two guys, it just, again, it doesn't feel like there was much of a plan. It was like, we have to do something. So let's just put these guys in there and let them figure it out. And then, of course, the main event, as we talked about, which I think John Cena will walk away with the undisputed WWE title, defeating Cody Rhodes, unless, you know, The Rock comes back and Cena turns back, even though that would make zero sense. So that is my, like, big circle. Big yellow circle, red circle, whatever color you want to use, in terms of coming up this week, is The Rock going to be involved in this thing at all? He has to be. And I would, again, I would bet on that. The other thing I'm interested in is what match is coming up for Randy Orton. So Randy Orton, of course, does not have a dance partner due to Kevin Owens' serious neck injury. Best of wishes to him, of course. But who's Orton going to take on? Is it going to be Nick Aldis? There's part of me, you know, based on SmackDown the other night when Orton hit him with an RKO and says that he wants an opponent and so on. And you could do Aldis, even though, you know, again, if you're talking about rewarding people, Aldis hasn't been an in-ring wrestler for WWE like ever, right? So what are you rewarding in that case? You have other people on the roster. There's a lot of people that aren't going to be on this show. Are they going to be on the Battle Royal or so on? Like, we could spin somebody out, right? Let me just, I don't think this will happen, but let me give you just a wild one. A for the WWE sickos moment. Why don't you put Rey Fénix in there against Randy Orton? I know, right? You might be thinking immediately, oh, they'll never do that. Let's just pretend the WWE is just going to say, we're just going to throw out a potential banger of a match. And we want to get Ray Phoenix was just introduced. You know, has he earned this moment? Whatever. But it'd be kind of fun to have those two guys in there going for, you know, 10 minutes, 12 minutes or something like that, right? Of course. And Randy Orton at the end of the day can still win. And even though Ray Phoenix is brand new in WWE, I don't think you're going to lose anything by losing to Randy Orton. Just say he shot a shot and you just rebuild him from there. I don't think he's going to fall down the ladder that much. But that would be just kind of a fun, like, hey, internet wrestling community or work rate lovers or something like that, whatever you want to say, we can do these things too. And just put on a match is going to be pretty great. Doesn't have a lot of storyline built into it, but you know what? The situation is what the situation is. We all realize what's going on here. Let's just put this together because you never thought you'd ever see it, and here it is. So that'd be my wish for this weekend. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, you can say here first. So that is, of course, the WrestleMania card. We have a Stand and Deliver coming up. And, of course, we have all the shows coming up with the GCW Collective weekend, a ton of indie shows and everything. Oh, of course, TNA. TNA is running. They're running a TV show on Thursday, followed by Unbreakable after that. So it's going to be a lot of TNA on Thursday night. No Ring of Honor this year. No AEW Ring of Honor presence during the weekend. So should be busy. Should be packed. Of course, there's the Figure Four Online convention. You can go to, I believe it's f4wonline.com/Vegas, and you can get some of the remaining tickets for some of the get-togethers. Not that many left, but I've heard it's a lot of fun. I have never been to one of these conventions, despite working with this website for 13, 14 years, something like that. So one of these days, I'll get there. I think I said that like 5 years ago, so we'll see. Should be a lot of fun. Let's go to AEW Collision last night, leading into what I'm looking forward to this Wednesday, in a week full of wrestling, is Boston, Massachusetts. So we have a big show coming up, Spring Breakthrough. In case you had not heard, friends, Spring Breakthrough, AEW will officially set the record for being, let me get the actual terminology of this correctly from my write-up last night, if I may. A night where Dynamite becomes the longest-running weekly primetime wrestling show on the Turner Networks. The key there, of course, is primetime, because it'll beat Nitro. Saturday night was, I guess, technically not in primetime, because it was 6 to 8, if I have that time correctly. 6:05, of course. But I guess primetime is considered 8 o'clock. So, Dynamite this Wednesday becoming the longest-running weekly primetime wrestling show on the Turner Networks. Say that 5 times fast. And the card, as of today, looks like to be a pretty good card, all things considered, for a free show on TV. So we have Mercedes Moné taking on Athena, a first-time ever match. These two have shared the ring a lot over the years, but this will be the first time one-on-one in a Owen Hart Foundation Tournament Women's Semifinal. I assume it is going to be Moné winning this. I think Moné versus Storm for the All-In show in July makes a lot of sense. You could always do a match, I guess, depending on how this one goes. There was this thought I remember hearing that, well, Athena's from Texas, so you're going to give her the big call-up and the big win to AEW and have it on All In. But they're thinking apparently a lot bigger. That's the thought. If you do Athena pick up win here, you could do a rematch at Double or Nothing. Let me just put a pin in that as well before I forget. I think Double or Nothing, they're going to have to do work to make that not seem like a lame duck show, but an important show considering you have All In coming in July. They have to, because now our eyes are full, like these bigger matches coming up in July. You still have to make May look pretty big as well. That's something to just kind of keep an eye on, I would say. What's your feeling going into that one? So they also have, I think Moné will win this one. And then she'll be taking on, I'm going to say, Jamie Hayter in the finals at Double or Nothing. That's my guess. I think Jamie Hayter, who's moved on, or she will face. What am I even talking about? Let me get back to that in just a minute. It'll be Jamie Hayter taking on Chris Statlander, the other semifinal. I think Jamie Hayter wins that, and I think it's going to be Moné taking on Jamie Hayter. Hayter has not been on fire since she's returned. And I think, you know, she's a former AEW Women's World Champion, but that long, long absence really killed off the momentum. So we'll see what happens. But I think Tony Khan might want to kind of really get her revved up again, Maher Kava, big player, and maybe this is the right way to do it. I think Monet wins the overall thing, but I think Monet taking on Hayter at Double or Nothing is the way to go. You also have a men's semifinal coming up. Will Ospreay versus Kanosuke Takeshi. Of course, is a rematch from March 2023's Revolution. These two have shared the ring a lot. This will be their second ever singles match. And it's anything like the first one. It should be great. Of course, it'll be shorter because you have a shorter show. But it might not be as well. So we'll see. But that will be good. And then, yeah, so you have Will Ospreay there. You'll have Kyle Fletcher taking on the winner of Hangman Page versus the Wild Card. So that Hangman Page match will also be on the show. I assume this is going to be Jeff Jarrett. We have not heard a lot about Jeff Jarrett. Of course, that angle that started and seemed like it was going to be kind of a bigger thing. You know, he and MJF was completely dropped. And that's kind of more one of the things we'll look back on, I think. And kind of what happened there? You know, I don't know if he had in the singles match with MJF. He might have, but that's how forgettable this whole thing has been. But I think it's going to be Page versus Jarrett. There's a little bit of a history there from 2024, I believe, if I have that time frame right. And, you know, it makes sense. You know, Jarrett has this, the connection to Owen Hart. He's talked about it and he hasn't been mentioned at all in the lead up. So my assumption, I don't think it's going to be a Josh Alexander just because I don't think you want to have Alexander take a loss. And I think AEW wants that Hangman Page in the mix. So yeah, I think it's going to be Page taking on Jarrett, Page winning, and then Hangman Page versus Kyle Fletcher, which I believe is a first time ever match as well in the other bout there. So that would be good as well. So yeah, you have things shaping up to be a really nice tournament. So that's happening, of course, on Wednesday. Also, the AEW Trios Champions, the Death Riders, everyone's favorite. Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and of course, John Moxley, who is filling in for the injured Pac, the AEW World Champion, doing double duty, defending against the Ops, Samoa Joe, Hook, and Katsuyori Shibata. And you have the AEW Tag Team titles online, the Hurt Syndicate, defending against the Gates of Agony. That was made official after the show. They kind of talked about during the show. And then a ways after that, they finally confirmed it was going to be on the show itself. I have a lot to say about the Death Riders, and I know a lot of you do as well. Arguably, the most talked about faction and group, I'd say, in AEW history for all the wrong reasons, but it is fascinating to see some of the discourse about them and a little bit floating either way. You know, people maybe not understanding how heels work in today's pro wrestling and how being uncomfortable is something you're supposed to feel. Others saying, these people are awful, get them off my TV, it's dragging down the product. There's always a little nuance there. We may chat a little bit more at Death Riders here after the break. And when we come back, we're going to go rapid fire because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We have UFC stuff to talk about. Mariah May, a new title coming to Ring of Honor. Why is that happening? We're going to chat about that and all kinds of other stuff as well. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason coming right back. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, April 13th. My name is Josh Nason, contributing editor to WrestlingObserver.com, filling in for the ailing Andrew Zarian. I'm sure he'll be back coming up next Sunday, as it will every Sunday, from here until the end of eternity, talking about the best in pro wrestling. Of course, you can get WrestlingObserver.com. You can get Wrestling Observer Live on this, where you're listening to us right now, either on WrestlingObserver.com or AM and FM radio or the iHeart app, as I mentioned, tune in over the air. The list goes on Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific. And you can also get it on Saturdays at, I believe, 1 p.m. Eastern. And that would be 11 a.m. Pacific, right? Something like that. My time is, that's not 11, 12, 1, you know, something like that, 10 a.m. Pacific. My math is off right now. And of course, on Sundays, every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific as well. So yeah, this should be a great week to subscribe to WrestlingObserver.com to follow along with all the wrestling news. Because again, a ton of stuff. Mania Week is insane. Insane. Insane when it comes to news and interviews and things like that. So it's going to be a busy week starting Monday with Raw and running all the way through the Raw after WrestleMania. Yes, Raw after WrestleMania coming up next Monday. We're already thinking ahead to that. And let's keep going. Quick hits throughout the world of wrestling and combat sports in general on this Sunday. I mentioned the Death Riders. I would expect, actually, I'm not going to say I would expect. I would hope that they lose the trios titles this Wednesday. And as I mentioned before the break, you know, there's been a lot of consternation, a lot of talk about these guys, this group. And I share in a lot of it. I just don't love it. I will tell you that the reaction after AEW Dynasty I thought was a little much. I think may have been perpetuated by some of the grifters out there that love to talk anti-AEW because they find an audience and it just becomes this this kinship among the miserable, fellowship of the miserables, they used to call in Boston with the Red Sox back in the day. That's a good term, fellowship of the miserable. They just want to complain because, you know, when they complain, more people watch, view, all these things, and that makes them more money. It's not really meant in truth. It's just meant in, this is what's going to help pay the check, pay the rent for the month, right? So I was way more bothered after, and not even to that extent, after Revolution with the Moxley and Copeland match, which I was just like, yeah, it's all right. I left that pay-per-view wing way flatter than I was at Dynasty because I, you know, the Bucks returning was interesting and it was newsworthy. And yeah, it was just another way for Moxley just to win. I know, I mean, I'm a swerve-stricken guy. I enjoy him like everyone else does, but I was just, yeah, I was not surprised with how that ended, but I also wasn't disgusted as a lot of people pretended to be. I mean, a lot of people legitimately were as well, but I, you know, it's kind of like, well, where's the end game? And the end game, of course, is a group completely failing, losing all their titles. And there's been a lot of issues from the beginning with this. There's, my big one is with Maria Shafir, and that there's only one woman on the entire roster that seems to have a problem with her, and that's Willow Nightingale. Like, why are no other, like, is the group's, the focus of the group, I think, was a problem from the start, in that, like, are they after all the titles? Or, and I also think this, the Shane McMahon rumor, I think may have killed them dead from the beginning to a, in a sense, because they mentioned there's a higher purpose. And I think people hear higher purpose, higher power. They associate the two. A rumor about Shane McMahon got floated out there and it was like, oh, wow, this is good. It was kind of this expectation, but there was nothing to that. So I think that hurt this group a little bit from the start. Also, again, with Shafir, is she want to take titles too? Like, wouldn't the women's title care or matter if all the things that Moxley is saying about all these people and, you know, they're not worthy and they don't care about this. Shouldn't they want to grab every title and just keep them from everybody? So why isn't she going for a women's title? Like, why isn't she wrestling at all? She's allowed to do the China roll, beat up the men, and only one woman, the entire roster, has an issue with that. That has always kind of bothered me, is they don't really have a focus for her and what she's supposed to do. And again, just the fact that the title belt is in a briefcase, I personally can't stand that. I think it's been there since October and it's just a weird look. And I forever am thinking, no matter what promotion I watch, indie, whether it's main roster, WWE, NXT, anything like that, your champion is your main focus. That is what everyone is striving toward. And have it hidden away since October, and we're sitting here in mid-April, I think that's a bad look. I think it's a bad choice. But I don't expect it to change anytime soon. It can start to change this Wednesday, but how does that play into the bigger story of how these guys finally get dismantled? I have this feeling there's part of me that doesn't think it's going to happen this Wednesday. And then I am worried. I wouldn't say worried is the right word, but the potential of the reaction to that is going to be something else altogether. It is very possible it happens. There's part of me that doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And they're going to try to do it at a bigger stage and make it more ceremonial to really signal these guys are going down the crapper, so to speak. So that's my rant on the Death Riders, but it should be a fun show in Boston. And then Thursday, of course, Collision happening in the same city, running it live. Smart, not running it on WrestleMania Saturday. They've done that before, and staying away from WWE, I think, is a good idea. And also, it's good for the fans as well. They are going head-to-head with Impact, but, you know, whatever. Let's see some other things. The Ring of Honor Pure title is getting a sister. Yes, this was announced by Tony Khan after AEW Collision being taped in Springfield last night. And it was announced before the Ring of Honor taping. Title belt was brought out. We don't know if it's the exact title. It could be the men's pure title. Who knows? But Tony Khan announcing that starting with May's Supercard of Honor, they will start a tournament for the first ever women's pure championship in Ring of Honor. That's right. We are getting yet another title belt for a promotion that does not necessarily need it, actually does not need it at all. You could say the reaction to this was less than positive. And so right now, the ring, so this will be the, let's see, it's going to become the third women's belt in the promotion, joining the women's world title. Of course, Athena holds that. The women's TV title, which Red Velvet holds. I don't blame you if you don't remember that, because she hasn't competed in months because I guess she's been injured. And that was first created in December 2023. Ring of Honor now has 8 overall championships. Though they have the men's, the women's, in both the World, TV, and Pure. They have the Ring of Honor tag team titles, and then they also have the Ring of Honor six-man titles. The six-man titles get defended wherever the Von Erichs feel like coming over from Hawaii, or if they're going to be in Texas or something like that. I don't understand that at all, and I don't know why they have the titles. I know that I think Marshall might have been injured. One of the guys is injured with his shoulder, but still, there's no reason to have those titles. You just don't have enough people there. And I have a whole thing about Ring of Honor. I just don't get what the point is. And it should be their version of NXT. It should be a developmental group. And I don't think Tony Khan wants to see it that way. I think we know now that the TV deal is not happening. So what is the point of this promotion? It should be, develop young stars. Like Nick Wayne should be wrestling every single week in Ring of Honor. And he should have been for the last year plus, instead of doing, you know, promos and one match a month on the main roster. He's got to be working. And like, I'm glad, like Blake Christian, you got finally Bandido as a champion. Like, younger guys, get them working, doing stuff, shorter roster. And it's all to develop to the main roster. You don't need Chris Jericho there. You don't need some of these very, like Dustin Rhodes is fine, but you don't need 5 veterans down there. It should be young. Develop and elevate and give them time. Lee Moriarty should be wrestling there more often. Lee Moriarty is a reigning men's pure champion. He's defended that title just 6 times since winning it last July. Why is that? And also, I can't tell. I don't like this title. The title, so ROH Pure rules, it's different. It's wrestlers getting 3 rope breaks. Restriction on closed fist strikes. There's judges awarding a winner if the match goes to a draw. I like differences in wrestling. You know, Bloodsport, which is coming up this week, is a different take on wrestling completely. That is fine. This, I just don't think you need it in 2025. I don't think people are clamoring for it. It's not that interesting. And I'm sure there's some pure heads out there that love it. But I just don't, not to the extent that you need to create a women's style. You barely have enough challengers for the women's world and the women's TV title. Why are you adding a third title, which very specific rules, which is more like Bloodsport style? I don't know. I some decisions it's easy. And I think AEW gets unfairly criticized for some stuff. I won't say double standard, some other people on the website might say, but I will say that there are some things where it's like, it's not really fair. They're kind of criticized. This one, I think, deserves full criticism because it doesn't need to exist. Too many titles. Also on the AEW front, this was interesting. I mentioned The Rock earlier, The Rock and posting stuff on Instagram and how wrestlers love to do this. Mariah May posted something kind of interesting on the old Insta. I don't know if you heard about this or not. Let me bring this up. But Mariah May is, apparently her contract is up. She didn't really sign a long deal with AEW. So her deal is coming up. And the assumption, of course, is like, well, of course she'd resign. She just got here, you know, and she just had this great, this great angle with Toni Storm and had this, it's kind of really elevated herself a lot. And so it's a question of, okay, is she staying or is she going? My assumption is that AEW is going to make the move and be able to get her no matter what. However, she hasn't been seen since when she lost the title at the Hollywood Ending. Oh, my God, what was that? It was at Revolution, of course, right? Yeah, it was in Los Angeles. Yeah. So today, all right, so I finally have it up. Apologize for my technical difficulties. Mariah May on Instagram, her Instagram story, a picture of a plane window and a graphic that is a quote associated to Angela Giakis, I guess. Anyway, you can't make the wrong decision because every decision leads you to where you're supposed to be. You can't make the wrong decision because every decision leads you where you're supposed to be. So she is trying to tease, of course, that there's interest from both sides. I'm sure there is. I would think, again, with free agency, how many people can WWE take and not just have sit on the sidelines? And, you know, everyone thinks, oh, I'm going to break through, but it's opportunity. And again, they have six hours a week right now on main roster TV, and they have NXT. Of course, I don't think she's going to want to go down to NXT. So what do you do, and how many people can they sign? So I think that will be kind of interesting to see play out. My assumption is, I think as most people, she's going to resign with AEW and she'll come back at some surprise point, but I think this might be a swerve. But again, it is way more interesting for these talents to pretend like they're could go and create that intrigue than say nothing. So kind of fascinating to look at as we go. Final look at the poll results also, by the way. Of course, a WrestleMania poll. Are you interested in WrestleMania or not? Are you excited for this year's WrestleMania as this weekend approaches? Now we're 36% yes, 45% no, and 19% not sure yet. So no big change from earlier. Let's get out of here in just a minute, but come right back. Wrestling Observer Live in just a second. All right, final 2 minutes. A few things before we get out of here in Wrestling Observer Live. Thank you for joining me, Andrew Zarian, back in this very seat next week. And enjoy WrestleMania week. This is a fun week. A wild week, a crazy week, but is one that is full of news and fun. And no matter who you cheer for, just cheer for the wrestling, cheer for the game. Don't think you have to take a side and just enjoy everything you can get this week, because we've had dark times when we barely had this stuff or it wouldn't seem as interesting. And this week is a nice celebration of everything that we all love and enjoy. Just don't take it to social media and complain. Some interesting things Nick Khan said this past week, and I don't know the extent I believe them, but I kind of do, talking about essentially how, you know, social media, they don't really listen to it in terms of what they're doing with their booking and how they make decisions. You know, it's only a small amount of people that have the big microphone, he says. Tony Khan of AEW making a similar note when asked about the Death Rider storyline, that they look at a lot of different things, and while they pay attention to social, they look at ratings and they look at a lot of other metrics as well. So if you're on social and you're thinking that that is the only opinion that matters and what you're seeing there must be what everyone's thinking, no, that's not the case at all. And people can say, oh, you know, they want to make it seem like it, what they say matters. To an extent, I guess it does. And it's more kind of the collective versus the individual. But just realize that sometimes social media is not real life. And that includes everything. You're feeling bad, log out. Go do some other stuff and realize that the real world is a lot better than the social media world. Trust me there. And one quick final plug, follow along with all of our coverage all week long on WrestlingObserver.com for your WrestleMania week needs. All the big news, all the big results, stories, all that stuff we're going to be, again, cranking all week long. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Josh Nason. This has been Wrestling Observer Live.